We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
The January 6th defendants are being treated differently on a whole nother level. They have been beaten by the guards. They are called white supremacists.
If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent. They're going to put you in the D.C. jail and terrorize and torture you.
And then they put me in handcuffs. They bring me here, they put me in leg irons, they stick me in a cell. What they did to me today violated the Constitution.
As a Trump supporter in America, you already know that cops treat people like us differently.
We can be profiled and misjudged anytime just trying to overthrow a free and fair election.
That's why it's time for us to have
the talk.
As a Trump supporter, it's important to remember that law enforcement is always out to get you. You can be targeted solely because of how you look, or what you chant, or who you're assaulting with a flagpole.
How many young and middle-aged men have already been arrested just because they tried to vote for Trump one too many times?
And then stormed the Capitol.
And then posted on Facebook for some reason.
And they'll use anything against you. Your skin color, your politics, evidence.
If you so much as think about overthrowing the government and then actually attempt to, there is nothing anyone can do to protect you.
Well, unless your husband is like on the Supreme Court.
Sure. You know, so first rule, always listen politely to the police. Mm-hmm. Don't freak out and call them bullies or fascists until after you're booked on Tucker Carlson.
The bad news is that if they do arrest you, you can expect the worst kind of abuse. Mm-hmm. They'll put you in handcuffs, take you to the station, and put you behind bars, and then lock them. These are things no criminal should have to suffer. And now they're openly throwing around the word traitor?
Yeah, with a hard R.
You know, every time I see a young man being hassled by police for smearing feces on the walls of Nancy Pelosi's office, I think that could be our son.
He is a sweet boy, and we're proud of him.
Yeah.
He is a proud boy.
So that's the way things are. And hopefully the next generation of conservatives won't have to have this talk.
Because there won't be elections.
Exactly.
You know, people say, oh, Trump's or that's a cult, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like cult is such a negative word. We are not a cult. We are a group of Americans that love our country and want it back.
Are there any old hits or things you hope he goes back to?
Oh gosh, I feel like whatever he spews out of his mouth, I just love it. I just love...
You know, it doesn't matter what he says?
Yeah,
we're going to love it. We're going to love being here. We're going to love hearing what he has to say.
But this isn't a cult.
No, I don't think so.
In Ohio, former President Trump addressed supporters during a rally for Republican Senate candidate J.D. Vance, during which there were many bizarre moments, including what many observers have noted appears to be echoes of the propaganda put out by adherents of the deranged and occasionally deadly QAnon conspiracy theory. Propaganda that Trump has repeatedly and unequivocally shared in recent weeks on his social media accounts.
Our motto shall be Moronica for Morons! We will have less work and more play. Every Thursday you will receive hamburger and egg. Oronica must expand. We must extend our neighbors a helping hand. We will extend them two helping hands and help ourselves to our neighbors. Bevla.
Bevla. Bevla. Bevla.
Idemore. I try 50 feet for pace. Give me courage. Hop carbon. Ellis seek to pull a cut. Try 50 falls. Hop carbon. I'm 550 by a seated. Run a ticket at cricket. Hop carbon. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah. We will now pause for station identification. This is NUTS.
But now, we are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has the highest inflation in 50 years, and where the stock market finished the worst first half of the year since 1872. Likewise, we are a nation that has the highest energy costs in its history. We are no longer energy independent or energy dominant as we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and many others for oil. Please, please, please help us, Joe Biden says. Yet we have more liquid gold right under our feet than any other country. We are a nation that is consumed by the radical left's Green New Deal, yet everyone knows that the Green New Deal will lead to our destruction. We are a nation whose leaders are demanding all electric cars, even though they can't go far, cost too much, and whose batteries are produced in China with materials only available in China, when unlimited amounts of gasoline is available inexpensively in the United States, but it's not available in China. We are a nation that ended oil exploration and production in the United States just as the price of oil reached an all-time high.
I am not a racialist, but this is a big bus.
Mr. Hitler, he said that historically, Taunton is a part of Minehead already.
He's right. Do you know that?
Our former president is apparently now suggesting that if he is prosecuted, his supporters should stand up to our constitutional order and the rule of law. Stand up and through whatever means are needed, prevent his prosecution. Prevent the application of the law. It is hard to see this as anything but a direct threat to our Constitution, to our republic, and a credible one at that. One can only wonder, is this where the Republican Party will go next? That prosecution is inappropriate because MAGA will violently oppose it.
You thunder against me!
You have done that yourself.
You will not take it from me!
Your anger and your lust for power have already done that. You have allowed this Dark Lord to twist your mind until now you have become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Don't lecture me. I see through the lies. I do not fear the dark side as you do. I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire? Don't make me kill you. My allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
It's a devastating and terrifying party that has at every turn put its undying loyalty to the ex-president over everything else. Charlie Sykes, I sometimes don't expect to hear from this zombie Republican Party, but I actually did expect them to stand up yesterday, especially people who serve on the Intelligence Committee or have any understanding of the threat environment in pre or post 9/11, pre or post Oklahoma City, to see the leader of their party play music under his remarks while the people in the crowd held up one finger, to not have any rebuke of the imagery, to not have any rebuke of the alignment with the QAnon brand and identity and mission, was to me almost the scariest thing that's happened yet.
You know, it's easy to get numbed by this. You know, you're what we've known for years now, that Donald Trump is reckless, he's unstable, he's ignorant, he's immoral, dishonest. And the reality is that he's more dangerous than ever. He is now very openly threatening violence, chaos, anarchy, if he is held accountable in the rule of law. He is embracing one of the most dangerous conspiracy theories out there. And I had the same reaction that you had, that you would think that if there was any mythical red line, any point at which the Trump would go too far for the Republican Party, this would be it. Because, you know, you would think that on Earth 2.0, in a rational political universe, you would have responsible Republicans saying, okay, we are conservatives, we are Republicans, but you cannot implicitly or explicitly threaten violence in response to legal action. You cannot do this. It is dangerous to embrace something as extreme as the QAnon conspiracy theory. And it's been absolute crickets. There's been absolutely nothing from any Republican. And at this point, I suppose, Nicole, we can't be surprised anymore. But it is an indication of what Donald Trump has done to this this party and what he is prepared to do to the country. Because I do think that, and again, we've talked about this over the years. Right now, I think it's very, very clear that Donald Trump poses a much greater and more imminent threat to the constitutional republic than he ever has before. And I think that we ought to take those threats and his attempt to intimidate the Department of Justice very, very seriously.
I'm alarmed by what you're saying, but I'm so glad you're saying it. And let me just be clear. I don't care about the modern Republican Party as a political story.
Right.
I don't care how their Senate forecasts look. I don't care how much money they have. I do care about in the words of the current FBI director appointed by Donald Trump, the single greatest threat to our homeland is domestic violent extremism. And right now, the single greatest amplifier of extremist messages and iconography is Donald Trump. Where are all the people who backed everything that we did as a country to protect ourselves after other attacks and threats?
Well, again, this has become a story that we've seen over and over again. We're seeing, grown-up Republicans, the so-called good Republicans, who are rallying around the most extreme candidates that are out there, whether it's Blake Masters or Doug Mastriano. But I do think that this is really a tell, the fact that there's been absolutely no response to what Donald Trump is saying. But I also think that this is one of those key moments. I also thought it's a very interesting split screen to listen to what Merrick Garland had to say the other day at Ellis Island. I'm really glad that you played a soundbite from his speech where he talked about the importance of the rule of law, but the fragility of the rule of law and how we can't be afraid to advance the rule of law. So here you have an attorney general who's drawing this red line, in effect, not blinking when Donald Trump, the former president, is basically saying, you know, nice little democracy you have there. It'd be a shame if anything happened to it.
Let me show you what Adam Kinzinger offered up as an explanation.
I think people in many cases fear more than they fear death. They fear being kicked out of their tribe. You know, we're tribal people by nature anyway. It's evolutionary. But when all of a sudden the people that you love lose respect for you or basically divorce you over text message, whatever that is, that's a terrible feeling. I've lived it. And I think when you look at that kind of stuff, it explains why leaders don't lead. And when leaders don't lead and tell people the truth, you can't imagine that the people that follow them, that actually look to them for guidance, that aren't hearing the truth, are going to believe anything different.
It's a really good explanation and articulation. But what people don't realize is that, I remember in 2015 calling Donald Trump a disgrace. It's black and white. It was so binary.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
And I wonder what you think the prospects are for more Adam Kinzingers and more Liz Cheneys. I'm not hopeful.
No, I wish I could be, but Adam Kinzinger is absolutely right in describing this phenomenon. But, you know, I was thinking of the sense of futility in the Republican Party. People are thinking, look, if Republican voters, if the base is not going to listen to General Mark Milley, if it's not going to listen to John Kelly, if it's not even going to listen to Bill Barr or these other people that were in positions to see exactly what Donald Trump was and how he behaved as president, if those people are not able to move the needle, what can I do to change the dynamic other than to throw myself on a political hand grenade like Liz Cheney? So there is this sense of not just cowardice, but the sense of futility to do anything about it. But this is a very, very dangerous moment for America. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have my hair on fire here. But, you know, when you have the former president of the United States with the largest megaphone on the right openly talking about the American people not standing for something, we've seen the potential for violence. In fact, it's not just potential violence. We've seen crazed individuals who sent pipe bombs to people in the media. We've seen people who shoot up FBI buildings. We've seen what happened in January 6th. This is a real moment for people to put country over party, and yet it feels naive to think that it's going to happen right now. And I think mainly because they watched other people with great credibility, great access, great insight into Donald Trump and his erratic presidency speak out and have no effect whatsoever other than to be excommunicated by their fellow Republicans. So I don't think it's going to change.
Your latest documentary is The U.S. and the Holocaust. Our previous president just said, why not more people from Norway?
Yeah.
Is there resonance from these lessons, unfortunately, to what is happening now? Because your story brings us up to the present. It doesn't end in the past.
It does. You know, this is the first time that we felt, because we set the table with all the stuff we're talking about. Hitler admired that act. The German jurists came to the United States to study our Jim Crow laws so that they could fashion in 1935 the anti-discriminatory laws against the Jews there. And when we protested as a nation, they looked at us and said, as the historian Peter Hayes in our film says, Mississippi. Meaning, you treat these people as inferior. We think these people are inferior. So don't tell us how to conduct our business. This is the first film in which, you know, we've talked here about, Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. When we began this project in 2015 in a different kind of America, this rhymes all history. Every film I've made has rhymed in some ways. By the time we were finishing it, it was rhyming in every other sentence in a way that required us to have a dismount, and just impressionistic in the last few minutes of the film, that brings us up through George Lincoln Rockwell, the American Nazi in the 60s, the Dylan Roof, who was anti-Jewish and anti-Catholic in addition to being anti-black, who murdered in Mother Emanuel in Charleston, the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
You also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Jews will not replace us. That was the original anxiety and the reason for closing the doors, the worry that we would be outbred and out by these foreigners, you know, even though our strength has been our immigrant population.
How does America rise above these nativist, dark, sometimes violent impulses?
You tell stories about it. You bring out the facts. You bring it to light. You tell these stories, as difficult as they may be.
What we have over and over and over again in American history is, on the one hand, this stream of white supremacy and anti-Semitism. It's a big stream, and it's always there. And sometimes it bubbles up, and it shocks us, and it gets slapped down. But the stream is always there, and we should not be shocked. We should not think, this is not America. It is.
This thing that people call white supremacy, that's not some marginal thing. You have to look back and say, how can we change so that we really can be a republic or really can be a democracy? If we're going to be a country in the future, then we have to have a view of our own history, which allows us to see what we were. And we can become something different. And we have to become something different if we're going to make it.
The 2,400-word manifesto is filled with hatred for blacks, Hispanics, Jews, and
he wanted to start a race war, as you say.
My first hour in office, those people are gone.
These cultures are changing us. We are not changing them.
You will not replace us.
Hundreds of white nationalists storming the University of Virginia.
We now know one person has died in addition to those five in critical condition.
11 Jewish worshippers have been killed at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. A man has been charged with hate crimes and could face the death penalty. He was reportedly motivated by conspiracy theories about Jewish leaders and immigration.
And we're trying to figure out what's happening on the Senate floor. Josh Letterman, tell us what's going on outside.
We are watching a situation that has gotten much and much more tense.
The institutions of our civilization are under tremendous stress. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to go in the same direction, but they could go in the same direction because institutions are just conventions. And as soon as somebody says, flips a switch and says, oh, it's okay to shoot grandmothers in a cemetery on a Saturday and then go to church on Sunday. The fragility of civilized behavior is the one thing you really learn. Because these people who we now see in these photographs, these sepia photographs, and they're receding into time, they're no different from us. You look at your neighbors, the people at the dry cleaners, the waiters in the restaurant, that's who these people were. Don't kid yourself.
We have seen the nadir of human behavior, and we have no guarantee that it won't recur. If we can make that clear and graphic and understandable, not as something to imitate, but as a warning of what can happen to human beings, then perhaps we have one shield against its recurrence.
Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my light beside the golden door. Emma Lazarus.
Somebody shoot some guy he don't even know.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.